Are you looking to make a podcast? Well, if you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. First off, it's free. Nothing is better than free. Am I right? Anchor provides creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more services. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, which is very refreshing for very fresh, new podcasts looking to get their start. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Deep in the woods, we seem to find horrors that we can't explain. Today we are once again going deep into the woods trying to find the spookiest things we can see. These subscribers sent in their stories that they claim are true. At the end of the day, it is up to you whether you believe them or not. If you have a story, whether it be a deep woods exploration one or something different, be sure to submit it at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I would love to see your story and share it with everyone in the swamp. It's stories like yours that keep this channel going. Now, without further ado, let's get into these creepy, allegedly true, deep woods exploration stories. So, me and my friends are avid mountain bikers and enjoy biking all over the woods, making our own trails and just enjoying it all together. So, it was the middle of the summer. We had nothing to do the next day, so we decided to go on a night ride. We had gone on night rides before, but were usually back at 10. But this time, we had planned on staying later. We left at around 9, and it was almost dark at this point. When we got to the trailhead, we turned on our flashlights and started up the trail. Now, at this point, it was almost 9:30, so it was pitch black out, and if there was moonlight, it was covered up by the canopy. So, we did the usual things like hit jumps and just enjoy our time for about 2 hours. It is about 11 now. We were a decent distance in, so we decided to hit one more line and then head back. I went down first, and my friend following. About halfway down, we heard a loud pop, and of course it was my friend's tire. We don't carry replacement tubes, so we knew we were screwed, and would have to walk almost 40 minutes back. This is when things started to happen. Not even 5 minutes into our walk back, my friend says, "Did you hear that?" I said no, and he replied with, "You didn't hear that scream." Before I could reply, he heard a scream again. But not just any scream, the scream of a man with a raspy voice, probably 100 or so feet away. We started running because there was no way we could ride. We started to hear rustling in the trees and bushes from both sides of us when someone yelled, "Stop!" We looked back and saw about 7 people step out of the tree line just standing there. No, they weren't dressed in all black, but dressed rather normal. They stared at us, and we saw them quite well as they still had our flashlights on our helmets, and when I looked at my friend for about a half a second and looked back, all the people were suddenly gone. And this is when we heard more rustling come towards us, but when we looked into the trees, we didn't see them. My friend dropped his bike and somehow grabbed onto my back, and we got out of there in a record time. My friend and I have absolutely no idea what happened that night, and it still scares us just to think about this. We went out with more people the next day and surprisingly found his bike, but both tires were missing. I've lived in the woods of northeastern Florida for pretty much my whole life. I grew up fishing and hunting during the day and playing video games and music at night. I've never really been that scared of the wilderness, and in fact, I would outright seek out the isolation of fishing in a remote part of the St. John's River. I'm 18 years old and I have never experienced such a strange and scary sequence of events, at least so far, though I never wish to go through this again. A little background of my family history. My mom was married to this dude from Ohio, complete a-hole, big ego. He even kind of looked like Alex Jones, just to top it all off. Well, one day, something happened between my brother and one of his daughters and the marriage ended. Also, if you've never been to Florida, there are pockets of modern-looking neighborhoods in the middle of nowhere, and that's where we were. Anyway, we moved out and back into this small house for rent that was in this rural neighborhood, which I was glad about. What was weird about this all was that my mom had gone back to the house to get their last bit of things. She told me she could see the ghost of a man who looked like my former stepfather's dead grandfather, shaking his head, but she could tell it wasn't at her. This was especially weird coming from my mom because she's not usually the superstitious type. I think nothing of it and continue on with my mundane life. Fast forward a few months. This is where it truly gets weird. So I was hanging out with my friend, B is what we'll call him. We like to go climb radio towers and break into places and such. So this one night, we decided to climb this radio tower in the middle of a cow field, right on the main road and through about 2 miles of woods at night, so no one would see us. It's not that creepy. I'm used to the dark. I was born in it. B then tells me about how he feels like someone is behind us and like someone is watching, and I see him turn on the light on his phone in the direction behind us. I reassure him that it's nothing, then he tells me about how the last time he was here, he heard some whispering, like something was whispering his name. Also, that he saw some flying orbs around the top of the radio tower. I laugh it off and convince him to lighten up and we continue on. All goes well as we climb to the top, a great view of the lights of the small town we live in and the stars. We climb back down and he tells me to get down. We both land right on cow manure. Great. He tells me that he hears something moving. I tell him that it's probably a boar. He then tells me that it feels like it's way bigger and bipedal. I can kind of make out a skinny, dark figure milling around near the entrance to the woods. I'd like to think it just showed up randomly and wasn't tracking us. Freaked out, I try and rationalize it as maybe being a Florida black bear. Yes, we have bears in Florida. Shocking, right? He tells me we need to get out of here. I agree. We take off. This time, we run a mile towards the road and hop over some barbed wire fence. I still don't know how we did that. That hurt like hell. As we walk back, he tells me that his girlfriend at the time, she's my good friend now and has verified this as being true, who lives in the middle of nowhere even for us, has seen weird stuff like that too. Orbs, humanoid figures, voices. Later on, she even told me about an old school bus near the road that leads her to her house with old toys in it, and so much more that I could write on and on about. But carrying on with my story, me and B hit up a friend we get some weed to smoke from sometimes. We got some, we rolled a joint, and enjoyed a much-needed high and talk about all sorts of things. He then says that he needs to go home, so we part ways. My house is only 3 miles away, short for me. All goes well on the way back. I listen to Static X on Spotify, good walking home in the middle of the night in rural Florida material. Then my phone dies. I start hearing this humming noise. I chalked it up to the wind or an electric car or something. Right as I think about how weird it is that my phone died at 23%, the humming gets louder. I don't understand why, but that sound aroused a kind of fear in me, which I have only ever felt a handful of times. Then I see a light up the road, but it wasn't like car headlights, more like a train. The humming gets even louder, and out of primal instinct, I jump over a wooden fence into another cow field and go prone Call of Duty style. I wait there for half a minute, and I glance up over the lower part of the fence. I see two guys in U.S. military uniforms in a camo-colored Humvee. The driver window was rolled down and he had a flashlight, and he was scanning the area. It looked like the passenger had one too. I don't know if they saw me, or if I was what they were even looking for. My mind whirled with questions, but I reluctantly resumed my journey home. I walk down my street. I see the familiar street names and houses. I see my house facing the familiar dark woods. But suddenly I felt scared, like I was being watched. But not like a wild animal would. Watched as in hunted. I suck it up and continue on, whether I see a mother deer rustle out of the bushes along with her two children. I laugh, relieved that it was nothing more than a bunch of cute little deer, and continue walking. Then, out of nowhere, I hear a loud, high-pitched sounding shriek. The deer bolted and I did the same. Afraid to look behind me, I fumble for my house key and somehow manage to get inside of my house without waking anyone, not even my dog, who always wakes up in the middle of the night with her barking at cats and cars. In fact, she was hiding under my mom's bed. I didn't sleep. The next morning, I heard screaming from the woods, which sounded like a mixture of animal and human. Everyone around us was disturbed, and eventually the cops were called, and there was an expedition into those woods. All they seemed to have found were some bones of animals and a deer corpse, probably the one I saw. I talked to B's girlfriend and she said that she's heard the screaming too, as she lives on the other side of the woods in front of my house. I still live there, and I still feel like I'm being watched sometimes. Sometimes I hear screaming, but no one does anything about it anymore. I also saw a pair of dead white glowing eyes out of my window one time. I think my mom is finally starting to get the message because we're moving soon. I have more stories from both me and my friends, and maybe I'll share those on this show someday. A few years back, a few friends and I went on camping to the Scottish Highlands. It was tough going. The weather was unforgiving and the terrain even more so. But the trip was an overall success. No one got hurt, no one got lost, nothing remotely unnerving or scary happened at all. At least, until the last night. But the trip was overall great. When we arrived back in the small Scottish village, we were due to catch a bus in. We were physically and emotionally exhausted by the time we arrived back in the small Highland village that served as our line of departure. 5 nights in the mountains will do that to you. We had barely slept and barely eaten, so the sight of a small, greasy spoon cafe almost brought tears to our eyes. We drew stares from the locals, and to be honest, I don't blame them. We were a mess of bloodshot eyes and greasy hair, all of our clothes reeked of smoke from huddling around a fire at night. They were curious but still friendly. The owner questioned us on our trip and took a great deal of pleasure in our fascination with the Highlands. It always earns you brownie points with the locals when you tell them they must be tough, hard-working people to live in such a barren place. We left with full stomachs and headed to the nearest and only pub in the village. They were equally welcoming and even stayed open for an hour or so later than usual, just so we'd have somewhere to keep warm until our late night bus was set to arrive. We left the pub with about 20 minutes before our bus was due, having heartily thanked the bar staff for accommodating us, and made our way along almost barely lit streets toward the village's one and only bus stop. Now, it is important to note that the bus stop is located just next to a small bridge which provides a crossing point over the river that runs through the village, so in the low light of semi-functioning streetlights, we knew there was a bridge. We just couldn't see what was on it at the other time. The minutes are ticking by and we're all clock watching. We can't wait to go home and have hot showers, warm beds, and properly cooked food. There must have been less than 10 minutes to wait when we heard something from the other side of the river. A grunting sound. But I think we were too buzzed and exhausted to make anything of it. But the sound continues, getting louder and more vocal until we realize there's someone on the other side of the bridge. Someone who sounded drunk. someone who sounded angry. I can't remember who, but someone was curious enough to gather the energy to go check it out. I wasn't watching, but I could hear their heavy boots against the metal bridge, moving slowly to the top. Then, there was a humdrum noise. They came down the stairs faster than they had gone up. "Grab the bags, now," he hissed, trying to keep his voice down. "Come on, move." We had no idea what was going on. In fact, I thought it might be some sort of prank, some lame attempt to inject a little excitement into the final hour of the trip. But one look in his eyes told me he was serious. I had never seen my friend that scared before, ever. As if to confirm what he was saying, I began to hear the same kind of footstep noise on the metal bridge. Someone was moving fast across the bridge from the other side, making the same angry grunting noises we'd been hearing. None of us wanted to take a chance, so we all grabbed our heavy packs and dragged them across the road onto a small, dark village street. We were fairly concealed in the darkness, but we still had a good look at our side of the bridge, each of us wanting to see what we had scared. Each of us wanting to see just what had scared our mate so much. Then we saw it. A man staggering down the bridge's metal stairs with something in his grip, the glinting of stainless steel in the low light. "Jesus Christ, is that a machete?" No sooner had one of us exclaimed that the man honed in on the sound of our voices. He raised the huge blade in his fist, pointing it towards the dark alleyway that we thought was concealing us. "You," he roared in his rough, Scottish accent, then began to bound down the bridge's stairs towards us, waving the machete as he ran. We bolted, hurtling down the small, dark street. We had no idea where we were going, but anywhere that wasn't in the immediate vicinity of this drunken, blade-wielding maniac had to be better. Whoever was in the lead must have had the presence of mind to loop back around the block if we got too far away from the bus stop. We'd miss our ride, and the only other intercity bus to roll through the village wasn't due for another 2 days. He explained this to us the first chance he got, and we all rued the situation we were faced with. Go back to the bus stop and risk getting stabbed, or stay away from the bus stop, miss our bus, and end up getting stuck in the middle of nowhere in Scotland. It was like a military operation or something. We moved in pairs, covering each other's movements, and started to relax as best as we could. It was about 5 minutes after the bus was due to arrive and we were starting to panic again. Some of us had gotten into their heads that we had missed the bus entirely, and we better start looking for a decent place to bed down before we ran into machete wielder again. But they didn't have to wait long, as a few minutes later a familiar-looking figure emerged from the poorly lit side of the street. Our collective heart sank, but we saw what we had in his grip. It was the machete. It was the same freaking guy. "You," he roared again, before slowly walking towards us. This time we took a different tack. I don't know if it was the adrenaline or the pure desperation to catch the bus and get our asses out of there, but we stood our ground. We roared back at him, pulled out our pathetically small Swiss Army knives, and dared him to try us. Looking back on it, it was kind of glorious. We went from terrified vermin, scattering through the streets, to full-on warriors, willing to defend their ground. What happened next is something out of a film. We're facing the dude. We begin pacing back and forth in the street, zigzagging around and towards us in the street, still waving his machete. He obviously deterred slightly by our newfound aggression, but it obviously didn't deter him entirely. A horrible feeling came over me as I realized that one of us could well be about to suffer life-changing injuries. But, in the distance, near the road pulled away from the river's course, a police van came trundling through, revving towards the scene and to our rescue. It was like the cavalry showing up in an old western. We were saved. Our bravado doubled and we actually began to advance up onto him, pushing him towards the approaching police that he was somehow completely oblivious of. He only realized what was happening when the van skidded to a stop behind him and a trio of burly-looking Scottish policemen jumped out and pounced on him. He got tackled, hard, so you heard the sickening thud of his head slamming into the concrete. But he had zero sympathies. We cheered as the bedroom lights of nearby dwellings flickered on and faces began to appear in windows to watch the melee. Then, As all this was happening, the bloody bus turns up, coming around the same corner the police van did. We decided to cheer, grabbing our bags and padding victoriously towards our ride home. Police wanted to talk to us about what had happened, but backed off once we explained this is our ride out of town. I told them we'd be in touch to make telephone statements, but we never ended up getting in touch. We were all just glad to be out of there in one piece. What I'm about to tell you happened 2 days ago in southwest Sweden. It was around 5 p.m. in the afternoon and I decided to meet up with one of my friends. We both have mopeds, scooters, and drove to the grocery store to get a snack for a small trip. After that, we headed towards a beautiful sheep pasture that I had been to once and wanted to go to again. It's located maybe 15 minutes away from the center of our town. After a while, we came to what was a narrow road surrounded by a forest. Since it rarely drives any kind of vehicles out there, I started to drive in the middle of the road and sometimes even on the part of the road meant for approaching cars. One time, when I looked in my driving mirror, I saw my friend driving close to the edge of the road. At first, I thought she was trying to make a point that I should stop on my part of the road and be more safe. But then she drove even closer to the edge and almost went down in the ditch. I stopped and waited till she caught up with me. We were both laughing and I asked her what happened. She answered, "I got distracted by something weird on the tree beside the road and forgot to turn." We laughed it away and continued driving. Later, when we sat in the sheep pasture, eating our snacks, we started talking about it again for some reason. I asked what she saw, and she described it, that it was some kind of wood plank that was nailed in a tree and what looked like some type of figure, maybe a person, with just holes as eyes. My reaction was like, "What the heck? That sounds disturbing." And she responded, "Yeah, it was kind of creepy." We decided to try to locate it again on our way home. We stopped by the road and I turned off the engine. When I looked up, I spotted it right away and it gave me the creeps. It was hanging there in a tree, looking all dead. I decided to take a picture of it when we drove home. When I saw it, my thoughts went straight to cults and murderers to put up some kind of sign to show that they've been there or as a hint to, you know, maybe stay away. I don't think I will ever go out there again for a while. But what do you guys think about this? Maybe, and hopefully, it's nothing, but something didn't feel right about it. So I live in the Upper Peninsula, and we have something called the Paulding Light. It's on an Indian reservation. Me and a few of my friends decided to head that way thinking it would be fun. It was Ali, Kara, Aaliyah, and myself. Well, about halfway through the hour or so drive to get to the Paulding Light, I started getting a weird feeling, and I don't really know how to put it, but it was like there was some kind of presence in the air. One minute we're laughing and having a good time, and the next we hit something, and Allie was kind of stunned, stopping the car. Whatever we hit, it was on the left side of the car because you could feel it under the car tires. So, me and Allie got out of the car to go check on that. We were trying to see what we hit, while Kara in the car ahead also stopped when she noticed we did. As we were walking to the spot where whatever we ran over was, We completely were thrown off by this foul smell, like something was rotting, but much worse. We got to the spot where we ran the thing over and we noticed a blood trail. We were feeling bad thinking it got hit and tried to walk off. With further investigation, the blood trail led off the road into a ditch covered in woods. Looking down, there was a dead porcupine with no head laying on the bottom of the ditch. As we were checking it, we heard a very, very loud scream. That's where the tipping point was. We got scared and started running back to the car. As we were running to Kara's car, about 60 feet away, we saw something just standing in front of her car. What got me was that it kind of looked like a naked man, but looking closer, something was very wrong with its legs. Another thing was it towered over her car. like it was awkwardly way too tall. This thing looked menacing. Once it noticed we were out of the car, it ran. The run terrified me. It's just the way it half skittered, and it all seemed so unnatural. Needless to say, we were extremely freaked out at this point, so we jumped in the car as fast as possible. Kara whipped around on the highway. She pulled up next to our car and calmly said, "We need to go home now." When we finally got back, she said the creature had yellow eyes, a human torso, and what looked to be goat legs, and that it would take its eyes off her till it ran back into the woods. I still get goosebumps thinking of it today, 3 years later. This happened about 13 years ago. I was in Boy Scouts, and on the way there, my friend and I will call Ricky for privacy reasons, had our Nintendo DS out, playing Pokemon, when one of the adults who were driving us to the Table Rock in South Carolina told us about the trail that Native Americans used to consider a very dangerous place. About 45 minutes into the ride, I started reading about the dangerous trail on my phone. Three people disappeared from there, and one person barely escaped from the trail itself. It had an interesting and creepy history. I thought it just happened to be a coincidence, but oh boy, was I wrong. So we get to the site at about 9 p.m, and I set my tent up right by that detail with some more people because of curiosity. Later that night, we started hearing twigs and sticks break from the woods. I grabbed my pocket knife and go get another scout I will call Dwayne from his tent. An Eagle Scout. He's about 6 foot, and I was about 5'11". Both of us were small, but when we went near the woods, we saw something human-like, with pale skin. It made this loud screaming sound that was so unnerving it sent us running the other direction real quick. I still remember the horror and fear I felt as the screaming rang out into the night air. To this day, when it's really quiet, I still swear I can hear it. Needless to say, when we got back to camp, the scoutmasters were really upset. We had to be back home at 2 a.m. because of the anxiety. I'm not really sure what this thing could have been, but if you know, feel free to share with me what you think it was. I've never been one to freak out over just anything, but that night, I saw something that scares me until this very day. Part of me would love to go back, but there's this strange feeling that if I do, it'll end very, very badly. I've had several nightmares since that night, and sometimes they feel so real that I swear I'm actually back in those woods. When it happens, not only does it feel like I'm there, but I can sense the thing out in the woods somewhere, just out of sight, stalking me. I can hear this heavy breathing, and with every snap of a twig, I find myself jumping and sprinting deeper. I try to escape this place and the horrors that fill the forest, but no matter how much I run, I am always trapped there. I'm not sure if the dream is just the manifestation of my deep-seated fears in the place mixed with my experience the one time we were there, or if somehow there, even if only in the dream, and it was somehow drawn my spirit or something. Regardless, I can say anytime I have those dreams, I'm terrified, and the dreams are the main reason I'm never going back. Anyway, that's my story, and I thank you for sharing it. This experience happened recently. It actually happened in early June 2019. I was exploring the woods with my friend, Scott. We did this often and we were well versed in the ways of nature and had never really felt afraid while in the woods. I'd even go so far to say as we felt a certain serenity while out with nature. There's definitely no feeling like it. That said, this time was a bit different. We were on this path that looked like an ATV path. We were on this path many times before, but we've never really seen anything creepy. This was all about the change, though. In this path, there were two places where there was water. One was a big puddle, and one was a creek. We were heading towards the big puddle when we heard rustling ahead of us. We stopped and scanned the area closely. I remember shaking a bit, not so much out of fear, but out of this almost uncontrollable feeling that something was very, very off. Not terrifying, just off. After a minute or two, we decided to keep on walking. I crossed the big puddle while Scott stayed on the other side. There was a clearing on the other side of the creek. We always wanted to get over there, but we never could. While Scott was trying to cross the big puddle, I was looking at the clearing. In that moment, I saw a black figure on all fours run across the clearing. I was taken aback and I hesitated before deciding whether I was going to bolt the hell out of there or just, you know, kind of play it out. Unfortunately for me, Scott was in front of me and thus was slowing me down. I fell in the big puddle in my attempts to escape what I had just seen. I thought I was dead. My mind raced with all those horrific thoughts of what was going to happen to me now that I fell into the puddle. I kept imagining this thing tearing me limb from limb. Perhaps it was the fact that people in horror films who trip usually die, or it was simply my imagination running wild after seeing something I could not explain. Regardless, I turned around and to my shock, the creature was nowhere to be seen. This made me feel a slight sense of relief, and yet, there was also the thought gnawing at me that if it vanished, it could still be lurking, waiting to kill me. I tried to shake these thoughts, so I stood up and ran off the path. Scott never saw this creature. He must have been looking the other way when I saw it. All the details I could make out was that it was skinny with skinny arms. It was running on all fours, and it was all black. The black was not fur, though. It looked more like skin. The only thing I could think is that it might be a rake. The rake is not all black, though, at least from what I've heard. Tell me in the comments below what you think this thing was. I'm actually going back to this path to put a camera in it. This experience will haunt me for the rest of my life, I'm sure of it. This took place when I was about 10. It was a warm October night in southern Ohio. Me and my cousin were riding four-wheelers in the middle of the night. My uncle, which is my cousin's dad, had talked about a little girl roaming around the 5 acres of land my uncle owned. Me and my cousin didn't believe him because he would tease us a lot about creepy stuff. He was notorious for trying to scare us. We would take trails into and out of the woods, but this time we went into the woods. A slim tree had fallen but got hung up in the other tree, so there was a bit of an overhang. When we got close to the overhang, the four-wheelers broke down. My cousin was driving, so he tried to restart the quad. After a while of fidgeting with the key, we got it to start. When the lights turned, we saw the little girl hanging over by the tree. She fell down to the ground and my cousin tried to drive over to her. She disappeared, and we looked at one another in shock. We questioned if we had really just seen this little girl disappear, and why would this little girl be in the woods? I asked my cousin what he saw and our stories aligned. We were quite freaked out about all of this and also very confused by it. That said, having no answers and only being left with a feeling of unease, we left the immediate area to regroup and gather our thoughts. As we were leaving, I turned around to see if the girl was there. It was then I saw her face upside down staring straight into my eyes. I screamed as I was 10 at the time and told my cousin to haul it out of there. The sight of this little girl made chills run down my spine. As we rode away, I felt so uncomfortable and that feeling never really left me when we finally arrived home. We locked all the doors and went to tell my uncle about what we saw. After explaining our story to him, we got food in us and tried to relax and forget about the whole adventure altogether. Unfortunately, later that night, as I slept, I couldn't forget it. I kept seeing that little girl's face in my dreams. I woke several times to the side of that window, and I kept trying to look away, afraid I might see that girl again. If I rolled over, it didn't make it easier because then my imagination would have me thinking I was being watched. Since that day, we never saw a thing ever again, but that memory will never leave my head. I will always remember that little girl, and though I'm not as freaked out as much now as I was at 10 years old, she will never be forgotten. I live in Northeast Georgia. I am a logger and enjoy hunting and camping or just hiking through the woods at times. I have spent a great portion of my life in the woods as my father was also a logger. At a young age, I started exploring and enjoying the wilderness. Enough with the background. I'll get to the story. When I was about 25, I had planned a weekend fishing trip. It was late February, and the weather was getting rather pleasant. Not too hot, not too cold, just right. A couple of friends were going with me that Friday afternoon. At the last minute, unfortunately, they backed out though. I almost didn't go, but had been looking forward to it all week and decided to go alone. I packed my Jeep with a tent, a Coleman cook stove, and a cooler, and just enough food for a week just to be safe. I always go heavily armed also because when I was 16 years old, I encountered a pack of wild dogs unarmed. Thank God for a sweet gum tree as I climbed until I was helped. Anyway, I set out on my journey about an hour later. I arrive at a remote spot on the river and it was getting late. Shortly after arriving, I looked around and realized I only had about an hour of sunlight left, so I pitched my tent, put my sleeping bag in place, and built a campfire with some dry firewood I had brought along. I fired up my stove and cooked bacon and eggs as I love breakfast for supper very, very often. After eating, by the fire, enjoying the peace and solitude, my arsenal was still in my Jeep. I decided to put my guns in the tent before it got any later. I brought my .357 Magnum and a Mini 14 Ruger, and my uncle's U.S. Marine Corps K-bar knife he had given me before he passed away. I couldn't help but notice the temperature was beginning to drop fast as it does at night in the late winter here before a 70-degree day. I was beginning to get cold, so I decided to go ahead and bed down for the night. My sleeping bag was designed for Arctic temperatures, so I was anxious to crawl in. After falling asleep for about an hour, I suddenly woke up. I felt as though I had been awakened by something, so I sat up and listened to the night sounds and tried to figure out what had woke me up. I could hear something that sounded like a tarp being dragged across dry leaves. I grabbed my pistol and flashlight and leaned forward to unzip my tent and look out to see what it was. I didn't turn on the flashlight because there was plenty of light from the moon, although, not a full moon yet, it was a little brighter than a half moon, and I could see something coming through the woods toward me. What in the hell is that? I wondered to myself. It looked to be at least 10 feet tall, and was dark with glowing yellow eyes. It looked like it had a long cape or something it had. Wings, maybe, I couldn't really tell. But whatever it was coming directly toward me. I don't spook easily, so I wanted a better look at it before I fired a shot. The thought crossed my mind and maybe my friends were trying to scare me, but this didn't look like any costume. I got the pistol ready and turned on my flashlight. Damn, I thought as I looked at it in the light. All the time I have spent in the woods working on logging jobs and hunting, I have never seen anything other than normal wildlife. That said, this creature, whatever it was, looked like something off of Jeepers Creepers. I couldn't believe it, was not going to back down from it, but I didn't want to shoot it just yet either. When my light hit its face, it stopped and just kind of stared in my direction. It was at least 10 feet tall. It had human-shaped legs, but a beak and wings. It looked like a giant crow almost, its yellow eyes just staring at me. I couldn't speak and my mouth was dry and my chest was pounding. I just sat there and all of a sudden, it took off in the air right above me. Its powerful wings parted the trees as it flew over, and just like that, it seemingly was gone. I just sat there the rest of the night half scared but in shock and disbelief. I never told anyone about this except for my grandpa, and I was reluctant to tell him because I was afraid he'd think I was crazy, but to my surprise, He had seen the same thing I had described many years earlier close to the same spot on the river. He hadn't seen it since, and neither have I, although I don't go back there alone anymore. I may never know what I saw that night, and my grandpa has long since passed, but believe me, it's always on my mind when we go out in those woods. I come from a big family, and my sisters had always heard stories about the Jersey Devil. One night, five of my sisters and three of our friends went camping, not too close to our neighborhood. My sister had just got her license, and we were excited to get out and do something away from the rest of the family. It was going to be an adventure my sisters and I hoped to share with one another and talk about for the rest of our lives. We borrowed our mom's van. It was the early 90s, so we did not have cell phones. We did have flashlights, safety kits, and the like. My sister had a Swiss Army knife, and her friend brought mace. As the day carried on into the night, we sat around the fire. Polly, my sister's friend, told us stories about the New Jersey Devil. This piqued our interest and curiosity, as we are horror movie fanatics. Werewolves, the Jersey Devil, ghosts, pretty much anything horror got us intrigued. Soon after the story, it was time to turn in. I decided to sleep with Rosie, my sister, because she had a weapon. I woke in the middle of the night and heard sticks crinkle. I assume it was one of the girls, so I didn't think much of it at first. However, as time went on and I noticed it seemed as though everyone was asleep, it sounded like maybe someone was sneaking around, and I quietly went to open the tent. I put my face out. It was then I saw a shadow figure standing across from my sister's tent. I quickly rushed backward into the tent. As I did this, I made a bunch of noise and I fell on my sister, who jumped up and said, "Hey!" I quickly put my hand on her mouth. I told her to keep quiet, and I tried to explain the situation to her. It was a full moon, and I could barely see the figure heading toward our tent. It was at the opening of the tent, and I freaked out at this point. I grabbed the mace. It was a little dark, but I could see the shape of its face. I pointed the mace at this creature and quickly sprayed it. The figure pulled back, screaming. My heart raced as I prepared to use the mace again if the thing tried to come into our tent. I had all these thoughts about if the mace wasn't effective for long, it may merely just anger this thing. What would I do? Thankfully, these thoughts ceased when I realized this thing took off. Rosie, me, and her friend sat in the tent and waited. We wanted to call out to the others in the tent, but we soon heard them ask, "Guys, are you okay?" We told them we were fine and said to stay in your tent till the morning. A few hours later, the sun started to rise. Rosie, her friend, and I decided to get out of the tent. She had the mace with her. She came out and called our sister and friends. They came out of the tent. Joanne explained to her tentmates that she woke up last night and saw something standing outside the tent. She could not see their face, however, it was odd looking. We explained we had seen the same thing as well. Joanne explained she had heard a noise right before it headed toward our tent. She said she saw the figure run in the direction of the woods shortly after being maced and pointed to where she saw it. Upon further investigation, we saw weird looking footprints near our tents. We wanted an experience that would stay with us for our lifetimes, and I think we got one. Needless to say, we never told our parents about it. Thanks for listening to these creepy and allegedly true deep woods exploration stories. I don't know about you, but the sound of these creatures in these stories make me not want to go in the woods anytime soon. If you enjoyed these stories, please hit that like button, as it helps me out a ton. The more likes this video gets, the more YouTube promotes it to fresh new eyes. If you're new to the swamp, why not subscribe and turn on notifications to never miss a new video, as I upload them almost every single day, and all things natural and supernatural. If you have a story you would like to share in a future video, whether it's a deep woods story or something completely different, be sure to submit it at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I would love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. It's stories like yours that keep this channel going. If you're not aware, you can download your favorite Swamp Dweller scary stories on iTunes, Spotify, and pretty much every other major podcast provider. I'll see you guys soon with another creepy video.